From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Well, thank you for gathering us again. Thank you for today. We honor your servant who many years ago heard the voice of God, heard the call of God, and gave himself for the salvation of souls to become a candle in the dark. I pray the Lord we will learn from his example that many saviors of men will rise up after this mission and this ministry, and even from today's service. I declare this service prophetic, that only tomorrow will tell how many people are rising up from the ashes to prove that forever you, God, you reign. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came, even though we may look the same. Lord, let us not leave the same in the spirit realm. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. I bring every force of darkness under my feet in the name of Jesus. I blind every eye that should not see. I shut every mouth that should not talk. I bring deafness on every ear that shouldn't hear. And let your power and your presence even continue to flow as your word comes. King of glory, arise, arise, arise. Let the enemies of God be scattered. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. You're very welcome to a wonderful Honor Your Prophet service. We want to be very scriptural, you know. There are many Christians who don't live according to the Bible. It's very, very difficult for many people to live according to the Bible. But we try. We want everything we do to be in accordance with Scripture. It's very, very easy to say you love God, you're following God, and still be able to just do what you want to do. It's very easy to follow your feelings, to follow your instincts, to follow your inclinations and all of that. Right? So it's very, very important that we live our lives according to the Bible. Somebody say the Bible. Bible. Wonderful. So today, we are celebrating our prophet. And I want to continue preaching about those who honor you. Those who honor you. Romans chapter 13, isn't it? And verse 7. Honor. We're talking about honor. All right? Honor is something that is very rare these days. To honor means to respect. To respect. Sometimes you respect the value of the person or the merit or the rank. Not food rank or not fish rank, but rank. Do you get it? So you value people or you honor people because of their merit. And there are people in our lives who have or should be given merit. Do you understand? And we started by saying that with those people, we need to honor the relationship we have with them so that that relationship will have life. Because the lack of honor makes some relationships almost non-existent. Are you here? Or you've decided to go home? You're here. I'm saying that the lack of honor makes some relationships non-existent. So the Bible says that render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. And fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. So there are some people in this world and in our lives that deserve honor. And if you don't honor such people, you're in trouble. Because it's not just it's not just okay to dishonor or disrespect somebody who deserves to be honored and respected. There's a consequences for that. It's like disobeying the law. The laws are supposed to be obeyed. So if you disobey a law, there's definitely a penalty for your disobedience. In other words, when you're supposed to honor and you don't honor, there's also a consequence for that act. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You know, so we started by saying that the first person that we should honor in our lives is God. Pinky, are you there? It's God the Father. God should be respected. Yes. If you understand what I mean, you will be clapping by now. God should be respected. Can we say we respect God? Can we say that as you have come and you are seated, you will sit down quietly until the service is over? Or you feel uneasy and want to get out and want to go away and want to go to the washroom and want to chew a gum and want to slouch on the chair and want to sleep? And can we respect that God is here and therefore we are going to be very good children of God until the service is over?
Yeah. I'll do that.
Can we do that? Yeah. Or you start sleeping when I start preaching? When you sleep, a demon is actually trying to be in your life. So, we are in a generation where people don't respect God. People don't respect the church. People don't respect the pastor. There are so many people who don't respect God. Because if you respect God, you respect the things that are around God. Once upon a time, there were some boys who are pastors now. They used to play football and play cricket, and the ball would come on the roof of the church. They are scheme boys. And they'll come, they jump the fence and go on the fence and jump and go up on the roof and take their ball. You can't, it's like we who are the pastors of this week, we can't tell them they can't do that. It's like, how come my football is on the roof and you say I can't have it? And then, you know, now and then it used to cause a little bit of argument between us and them on this football park here, field, the small play field, they've turned into a football field. You know, but by and by, we manage by my leadership to enforce that you cannot just climb the roof of the building and go and take up a football. That when you kick a ball, you don't know even how to play football anyway. This isn't a football country. It's throwing balls. That's all you know to do. You throw balls. You use sticks to hit them. It's 6-4. Dribbling. Dribbling is not our skill. So if you are playing football and you really know how to play football, without a goalkeeper and a goalpost, the ball shouldn't come up the roof. Because how are you aiming? You are aiming like you're heading good. Because you are aiming high up in the sky. That's why the football will come onto the roof. If you are playing small poles, it's about four feet the post. So, what, you're going to kick the ball like there's a human being in the post trying to catch the ball? So, time and time again, in fact, up to a point, one day the ball came here, and then the one guy climbed the fence, and he jumped in, and we said, this is your end. You are not going anywhere. We arrested him here in the church. I tell you, you remember? I also remember. And then his brothers came, they came to the gate. I said, no, you people are very disrespectful. You can't jump the fence of the church. How do you feel if I jump your house fence, not the church, your human being who poo-poos, who wee-wees, who sins, who lies, who does all those things. If I jump your fence in your house, how would you treat me? You treat me like a criminal. How can you jump the church of God, the fence of the church? How can you jump the fence? And then the pastor and everybody else should behave like we know nothing. We ain't got sense. We ain't got nothing for say. No. We enforced it. A time came, there was a transformer here. They'll kick the ball. The transformer will go Sunday morning. Blackout in this place. Then you have to go on generator. You call GPL, they won't come. Called GPL. At the point I got fed up, I went to GPL. I said, you know what? I want my line, the church line, to move from this transformer to a transformer down the side there. This is too much cable. I said, you have to give me the cable.
Because if these guys don't respect God and we are going to fight every Sunday morning, I want to, the GPL came, that's why you see a cable running in front of the building, which is not so much a nice connection. But I forced to remove myself from these things that these boys would do to us every Sunday morning. Because I wanted them to know, you can't trouble the church of God. You have to respect. Honor God. That's the first point. The second point is to honor Jesus Christ, his son. Number three, honor the Holy Spirit. Number four, honor the prophet. Honor your prophet. Honor your prophet, and it will give life to your relationship with your prophet. Honor your prophet. Who is a prophet? So that you understand, when we say honor your prophet, and it will give life to your relationship with your prophet. Who is a prophet? You want to know who is your prophet? Hosea chapter 12. Hosea. When I hear your name, I feel like reading Jeremiah. At Hosea. I didn't hear Hosea, but Hosea is also one of them. People have talent too. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. The Bible says that, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. So honor your prophet. Everybody has a prophet. I said everybody has a prophet. Do you have a prophet? How many of us have a prophet? Hey, I know many of you don't have a prophet. It's true. You have a mother or you have a father, but whether you have a prophet, I'm not sure. So we are looking at honor your prophet. Who is a prophet? The Bible declares a prophet. You see a prophet by what he does. Number one, a prophet is somebody who takes you out of Egypt. And then a prophet is number two, somebody who preserves your stay in Christ. So a prophet, if you go into the dictionary, a prophet is somebody who actually speaks on God's behalf. Rabbi Hosea defines the type of things that the prophet does. So for us to know who is our prophet or who is a prophet, you have to know what the prophet has done. It's just like, who is my father? A father is someone who brings people into this world. A father is not necessarily somebody who pays school fees, because many fathers don't pay school fees. Many fathers don't spend money on no child. Mm-hmm. Especially if you give yourself free to some of these boys. Yeah, as cheap as you give, as cheap your life will also be. Once you give yourself freely, then freely have you received. And freely also will you give. Yeah. So you have to watch how you live your life. Yeah, you got to watch it. If you give the thing free, people also treat you free. Yeah, it's a Chinese thing. For free. It's cheap. Yeah. 3 for 500. Wholesale. Samson, wholesale. So a prophet is someone in your life who actually saves you. The source of your salvation is from a prophet. So Moses, the Bible says, is an example of a prophet who took Israel out of Egypt. So anybody who actually leads you out of darkness, who leads you out of sin into Christianity, is a prophet to you. Yes, Jesus is a prophet. Not because he only speaks on God's behalf, but he's the one who led us out of darkness. He's also the one who preserves us. Without Jesus, none of us will be around here. So a prophet is somebody who takes us out of sin and somebody who actually keeps us. So today we are actually honoring the person in our life who actually started this church many, many years ago in Ghana of West Africa. He, going to school, heard the voice of God, and then started this church. I'm not the one who started a church. I am not the one who started a church. I just came to help. I'm just a helper. But Dagwood Mills, the presiding bishop of our church, is the one who started a church. So because of him, all of us now have a place to call a church. Are you with me? Yeah. And because of him, our Christian life continues, because I talk for him, I speak on his behalf, I preach from his books, I use his teachings. It is his teachings that we use here in Guyana. I don't have any teaching. I don't know anything about church. Everything I know is what I've learned from him and what I continue to learn. So he's the one who has actually led us out. I may be his representative. I am God's representative, but I am also a representative of this ministry, of Dagwood Mills Ministries. And I am here on his behalf, drawing people out of darkness. So I am also a mini prophet. There are major prophets and minor prophets. So because I am working on his behalf and I'm assisting him, I'm also functioning in the prophetic ministry of bringing people out of Egypt and preserving them. It's very clear that for many of you, the day I leave this country is the day you go back to your old life. I'm telling you. You will say, you know what, you go to another church, but that is just your way out. Anybody who leaves the church here, who was called to be here, who goes to another church, is their way out. Except that the way out must be a little deceiving so that you think that you are still in the faith. Many people leave the church and they go to another church. It's just a way out. Because once God gives you a prophet, you have to make sure that you are following the prophet, you know. Charlene, are you there in the corner there? I can see you are praying as I'm preaching. It's a good prayer. Support me with prayer, okay? So that is who a prophet is. Now, the Bible says that. Let's go to the scripture. So honor your prophet, and it will give life to your relationship. Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. It's very sad. It's very sad that a prophet, somebody who speaks on God's behalf, it's not respected, especially where he comes from. It's sad. I am thinking that because this person comes from among us, that the person should be respected even more. Holy, I mean, if your brother is a pastor, why shouldn't he be one of the guys you promote around? But sometimes your brother who is a pastor, his church, you don't want to go. You go to any church, but not your brother's church. You listen to anybody else, but not your grandmother who goes to church. It's once the thing is around you, there's a certain respect that leaves. And that's what we are trying to help ourselves as we go through this series, that you have to give respect. You have to fight that ability to not respect your pastor, to not respect your prophet. Because we can be here. We can be here for many, many, many years. We've been here for 14 years. And so sometimes it becomes normal. Sometimes your face doesn't look like a new face. I'm sure if I bring in another pastor here tomorrow for a convention, oh, you will come. You will shout amen. You will come and receive prayer as if I have never prayed for you or I cannot pray for you. But that is how people behave. People respect things that are foreign than things that are inside. Jesus said, when you have a prophet, somebody who has entered into your life and who has led you out of sin, led you out of darkness, that person, can you believe that person is not respected? For many of you, if it wasn't me, you wouldn't even have known God the way you know God. Yeah. With all the disrespect you give me, nobody will choose you to do any home cell or bar center. Which church? Who will choose you and put you on a plane and then go to Africa? Who will choose you and do that for you? It's only lack of honor, a lack of respect, a lack of value, lack of merit, because you can't recognize who you are dealing with. And that's what happened when Jesus went to his hometown in Mark chapter 6. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? But you see, a prophet speaks for God. So if you don't respect a prophet, what happens is that his speaking into your life from God becomes affected. That is what we don't realize. And let me tell you, there's nothing like God speaking to you. Anybody can speak to you. It doesn't make any difference. The person who speaks to you and makes a difference is God. And therefore, if yes, many of you, the people you have in your WhatsApp contacts, they are all foolish boys and foolish girls. They don't do anything for you. If you challenge me, we can open your phone right now and see the nonsense people send you. Nothing sensible. Yeah, nothing sensible. I heard there was a young boy who joined a group, and the group was about sex. So it's just like a sex group. When people have sex, they record it and they post it on that group, on WhatsApp. It's a sex group. Yeah. It's about sex. When was the last time we posted sex on the platform that you and I are on? If you don't take care, you put something, say, hey, this thing, we don't do this thing here. Your preservation, that is your preservation. It's like you are being preserved. You are being taken care of by a prophet. And yet there's a certain merit that the prophet doesn't get. And that's why we are saying that, you know what, if you don't dedicate a day to speak about and teach about these things, people just look at people and just walk past them. That's not everybody you can walk past. There are some people you can walk past them. You can pass them straight. But there are some, when you meet them, you have to stop and say, good morning. How are you doing? It's good to see you again. I can never forget you in my life. You the person who have to, oh man, you know, before you continue. Yeah. There's a tribe in Nigeria. They do it even wilder. When they meet an elderly person, the women especially, they bow. They bow like that. So we are not talking about a prophet. We are talking about an elder. Especially the elderly man. That's what I was saying last Sunday, that when you respect somebody, when a person says no, it's no. That's why many people, your lives are not going well, because no is not no to you. And your no has no power inside. You don't even know how to say no. You don't even know how to say no. Everything works. Everything is okay. Your fences are open. Whatever animal comes in is okay. There are some wild vehicles around. Oh. Okay. Black tires. Yeah. In that culture, anytime you see an elderly man in town, you bow, they go down like that. And you know what? They go down until the elderly man will touch their back like that before they can get up and continue walking. If the man doesn't touch your back, it means that you are stuck. It's like permission to carry on. Permission to carry on. Like in the army, you meet an officer who is high. You salute before you continue. I'm sure if you find something wrong with your salute, you say, what do we say? He will tell you to go and come back. Thank you for that help. Or he'll charge you. It's a small salute. But it's not small. It's like, do you know who I am? Do you know who you are facing? Do you know who you are passing? Can you just salute me anyhow? You don't respect. They do that in the army. In the army. But our society don't have that. The day I was driving to this church, I saw one of my church members right here in the middle of Freeman and Flesingen, Freeman and Cemetery, and then this building. I took my hands out from the steering wheel and I waved at the church member. The church member walked straight past my car. No, I'm opening your eyes. So I came to pick somebody up here. We were going somewhere I was going to preach. So I told the people, did you see what that person did? One or two people said, oh yes, we saw. One person said, no, Bishop, the person did not see you. I said, Okay. Benefit of the doubt. So by the time I was going back, right at the corner of Cemetery and Freeman Street, the person was there on the right side or on the northern side of Freeman Street. The person was trying to cross the road and I was going south or left on Cemetery Road. So this person, as you are crossing, you look here and look right. The person, it was like her neck was stiff. The person looked north, looked towards this direction as she crossed the road like that. So then I asked her, the person who was in the car who said that the person didn't see me. I said, look at this and tell me what you think. And the person said, Bishop, I now realize that the person is trying not to look at you. A church member. I am glad the person is no more in the church. I'm glad. Because it is so, that's we are narrating the army experience. You can't see a high officer and just look as if you did not notice him. But tell me, is it not common? Don't you pass the pastor all the time? Because we don't respect. But what happens is that if you don't honor, if you don't respect the relationship between you and your prophet, what happens is that there is a certain form of flow. There's a flow from God through the prophet to you that is blocked. That is blocked. If you like, try it and see. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Verse 5, he says, and he could there do no mighty work. What is happening here? His ability is not that Jesus doesn't have power. He has the power. We know it. It's the same Jesus who rose Lazarus after 4 days from the dead. Do you know what it takes to bring somebody 4 days from the dead? Let me take you through it quickly. When somebody dies for 4 days, the first thing I can tell you is that the person's inner, the things in the belly, rots. So the stomach, the large intestines, the small intestines, the liver, the kidney, everything becomes one mass, like porridge. Oh, if you die, we can open your stomach for you to see. One day, you can survive it, but 4 days. In fact, when Jesus told Mary that, let them open it. We say, oh, but I mean, Jesus, this for this, the guy is smelling now. So, to bring Lazarus from the dead, number one, you have to turn the porridge into clear, crystal clear, separated organs, tissues, and whatever. That's one. Number two, whatever killed Lazarus, by the time everything is restored, that thing is still inside his body. Do you understand what I'm saying? The difficult thing is that the Bible says that when people die, their spirits return to God who gave it. So it means that for somebody's spirit to come back into the body, you and God got to be tight. How can you drive somebody's expensive vehicle if you and the person, you are not so tight? Can anybody just come and drive your car like that? It got to be your daughter or your son or somebody you trust. You cannot just come and take my key and, ooh, I'm going to town and come back. What do you mean by, you're going to town where and come back where? You know how to buy gas? So for Lazarus to even, for his spirit to come back into his body, it means that the person who is speaking, who is issuing that command, is somebody who is so close and so tight with God, who is in God's good books. That's what many people don't understand. For people to do things that you can be very amazed about, it tells you the list on which they are on. The preference that they have in the sight of God. That's why a prophet must be honored. So, the spirit of Lazarus had to come back. His intestines and everything had to come back to normal. And then blood had to start flowing again. And then the whatever disease that killed Lazarus had to be instantly cured. If you separate the miracle, it is so fantastic. It is so fantastic. Because I don't know how many people in this world, not Jagdeo, not Nagamutu, not Granger, who can call somebody's spirit from God to come back into their body. Even animal spirit you can't bring back. Mosquito can bite you. You can't tell mosquito not to bite you. Mosquito bites you all the time. You don't even have power to say, mosquito from today. No biting. I block you from biting me. That power is not even there. So for that Jesus to not be able to do mighty work, it is not because Jesus doesn't have power. It is only because the congregation, the people who were supposed to receive the power, they disrespected him. They did not value him because he was from that place. He was from that place. So if you don't respect or give honor to your prophet, you take out life from the relationship. And the life that God gives is what actually will keep you going.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but if you have a pastor and you don't have a relationship with your pastor, you might as well die. Because a sheep who doesn't have a shepherd, how do you survive? Tandy, how do you survive? You wake up in the morning as a sheep, then you're just around. Meh! Meh! I'm hungry, meh! Meh! And then your mind tells you, get out of the pen and go out. There's some grass around Freeman Street. Sheep don't think like that. There's nothing like that in a sheep's life. Somebody has to take the responsibility of taking the sheep out. And when you don't have a relationship with your prophet, when you don't honor the relationship with your prophet, these kind of simple but important and critical things in life are absent. No mighty works are done. That's why we've chosen to honor our prophet. There are several ways to honor. I can't go into that today. The next person you should honor, as I close, is fathers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor thy father, like Isaiah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. If you're under verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, we can read from there very quickly. We're closing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. So parents in the Lord are like people who brought you forth in the church. Parents in the Lord. You must have a parent in the Lord. Yeah. Anybody who invited you here, you should treat that person very special. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Anybody who invited you here, you should treat that person special. Okay? When the person says, come, we are going to church, you say, why not? Because that person is your source of blessing. You may not know. But that is what that person is to you. It is through that person that you have come to the church. If you listen to that person, there are more God is going to use that person to do in your life. That's what we are talking about. You can actually not respect an invitation to a church. Because people invite people all the time. I mean, as you are here, you are even sleeping. Your mind is somewhere else as I'm preaching. You didn't even hear anything I've said so far. It's true. When people come to church, they are distracted. Some people feeling for, they want to quickly go out. But when the church is over, you can be out there for another 2 hours and not go home. But it's like you can't sit down and listen to preaching. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Into brackets, which is the first commandment with promise. Yeah, first commandment with promise. You see, those who understand what I'm saying, they clap. Those who don't get it, they don't clap. Oh, they can't get it. There are a lot of young people here. And I can tell you that if you listen to these kind of messages, you do very well in life. Doing well in life is not only by virtue of the school you go to or the family you come from. Doing well in life is being somebody who follows the scriptures and God's commandments. That's the source of doing well. One thing this verse didn't say is that honor your father who took care of you. Or honor your mother who doesn't like talk. I'm sure Ina talks a lot. I can close my eyes and see Ina talking in the house. All day. If you don't take care, there's some nice words that will come inside. Where is bald head girl? He's outside. Praise the Lord. She's learning. It's good. But God is not saying, honor thy father who pays school fees. Thy father that you see every day. No. Thy father and mother. And many of you children here who don't respect your mothers and you don't respect your fathers. When was the last time you called your father? You don't even have his number. You don't even know where he is at. And you don't care. Because he better try there. If you know, those of you who follow football a little bit, there's a guy who got the world best footballer of the year. Virgil van Dijk. He's Dutch. He plays for Liverpool. Now, I just read a little bit about him, and it's fantastic. The same thing with a guy called Memphis Depay. He's also Dutch. These are all immigrants from Suriname and all of that. Now, Virgil van Dijk, when he's playing, I think Liverpool and Manchester United are playing right now. I pray my team wins the match today. Glory, glory, my United. Now, Virgil van Dijk plays with his name Virgil at the back of his jersey. But most of the time, people have their last names at the back of their jerseys. Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo. Lionel Messi. You see Messi. Neymar Jr. I don't know what name is that, but it's Neymar Jr. But these people, they have a lot of names. These Brazilians can have so many names, you can't even pronounce them. There's all kinds of fantastic names. You have names. But I understood that Virgil van Dijk, the reason why he doesn't have van Dijk at the back of his jersey is because his father did not take care of him when he was born. And left. Yeah, the father left the mother to take care of hardship in Holland. And so when he started playing football and started doing well, he decided in his heart that he will never let the man get any glory out of his career. So he doesn't use the Van Dijk for anybody to find out which Van Dijk is this. Because your father's name is what you carry. Yes. So it's like forever, my reputation and my legacy and my celebrityship or whatever you want to call it, as a Liverpool player and any more money, I don't want it to be connected to my father. Yeah. And many people are like, Memphis Depay is also like that. He also has his name on the back of his jersey, Memphis. But you see, what happens with black people is that black people normally are so promiscuous. Black people don't marry before they have children. And therefore, you see, it's not very easy. Anybody, you if you think it's easy, you grow up and see. You grow up and see. It's not easy to grow up. You're a young boy, and then you say you want to have sex. Then you find this nice girl who says she loves you. Or doesn't love you, but just want you to sex her. Then you sexy, she's sexy, she's sexy. She's that. You become a sexer. You sex her all the time. Then a young girl now get pregnant. Through sexing. What's your name?
Timela.
Demelsha. 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 Wow. I have heard this name before. Is this your first time? This is not your first time. Demelsha. Can you imagine, God forbid, that you have a boy and that you think you make him happy and then you do the thing, right? And then you get pregnant. Some people don't even know that they are pregnant.
I tell you.
That's how little your brains are. And even who you are pregnant for. It's something you ate the other day. So the guy now who you have been doing this thing with, he's not thinking about children. He himself is a child. Then you are pregnant. You go through the pregnancy. You give birth to a child. And you expect this boy who doesn't even know anything about to be a father. It can't. It doesn't work. That's why if you young ladies will know and understand these things, you will not just lie down and open your legs just like that. Kitana. Because you don't know what lies ahead if you give yourself to these things. The guy is not ready. Even those of us who are ready, it is not so easy. Jamal, I don't know whether you are ready for a child yet. I know. If the girl asks you, you ready for children? You say, get what you dip on. Rest yourself. And some women are wicked. They will not tell you that the time you are doing the thing with them, they will get pregnant too. They want to lock you down. Lock down, operation, lock down. Don't come out, don't come out, don't come out. I'm explaining who a father is. A father is not somebody who has a good reputation. So stop insulting the men who brought you forth into this world. The Bible says just honor them. Just honor. Whether they are good or not, you just have to honor them. That's all. That's all. You see, and what many people don't understand is that when it's your turn, we'll see how good you'll be. When it's your turn, they will see how excellent a father you are. You take your children to school. You carry them. I wish I could carry kids. Yeah, carry them. And buy them. Christmas time, you take them to the shop and buy them things. Every time you marry their mother also. Who is not a marriage material, a wife material. But because she's pregnant, you just go ahead and marry her. And then you build a house and you live together. And you don't love her, then it's okay. Please. The boy doesn't, he's not into all those things. So now when you grow up and then you don't know your father, it's because the guy wasn't ready. And mommy ready. Mommy ready all the time. Some men don't even know how to treat children. Because they themselves never had fathers who loved them and took care of them. So they brought you to the world. They don't know how to handle you. But God is saying that if you are going to carry my name, you have to forgive and let all these things pass. And still treat the person as a father. As a father. As a mother. I tell you. I tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't start doing that, there's a certain blessing that will not come upon our lives. And for many of us that I'm preaching to, you don't understand what it means to have a father and mother in the same house. I'm not talking about uncle, not uncle. Uncle is uncle. Yeah.
Uncle Daddy.
And for some of you, there is a certain gap in your life. There's a certain hole that needs to be filled. Honor your father. Father's Day, Christmas time, do something for him. Go from today, go and look for your father. Look for him. Because you don't know the reason why he's not around. There are reasons that our children wouldn't understand. There are reasons why you will not understand. Even if they, you will not, and you pray. You see, Solomon, King Solomon, when he became king, decided not to commit adultery. He saw how his father committed adultery. He said, my father is a bad man. Why will he take somebody else's wife? So Solomon said, he will never do that. So any woman he met and he loved, he married. Married and done. He ended up marrying 700 women. And 300 on the waiting list to be married to. The girlfriends. Because he said that, you know what? I will not do what my father did. The Bible says, is it? I mean, how can you have 1,000 women in your life because you wanted to do better than your father?
Come on, Bishop, come on.
No, there's something called your daddy's devil. That if you don't know what the devil is, please don't speak about your daddy. Because that same devil is waiting for you when you get big. You become worse than your daddy. I say you become worse. Esperance? You get big, boy. How old is you? 13?
Yeah.
13? What? You used to have some plait hair. You know me? You know me. You hear about me, but you don't know me. You know me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. He was a little boy like that. Little boy. Baby, baby. Yeah. Yeah, plait hair boy. The young shall grow. Yeah. Your mother. Me, I'm glad I'm not a woman. You see, when I look at Bobby, I don't know how you carry Bobby around. I say, please. Please. Tofiakwa. Bobby. I mean, when you are running. It's not even one, two. At least if it was one here, at least you can hold it. Like how we have one, we can hold it. I'm glad I'm not a woman. God is a good God, I tell you. He loves me big time. Hey. Yeah. Look at you, look around and see the woman. So complex. Sophisticated. Look at them. Oh Lord. When they go home, they take about 200 things off before they become normal. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Hey. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I can't carry Bobby. I can't carry them hips. You see, and many of you, you don't even know how to carry it. And you don't know what it does to a man, you know. Please, next time when you are coming back, tell God you don't want any of those things. Flat buttocks, flat chest. Okay? Straight. You have peace in life. Those of you who have things, oh. Extra, some of you, it's extra large. You didn't negotiate well with God. You don't have negotiation skills.
Or maybe God was sleeping when he was creating you, so he just threw some things, threw some mud right there. Give it. Deal. Yeah.
One thing I've learned in life is that women don't know who they are.
It's true. Son of sweetie, what's your name?
Beyonce.
Beyonce. How old are you?
15.
Where you live?
North Ranville.
North Ranville. Beyonce. You go to school? Which school?
Tocqueville Secondary.
Hey, there are Tocqueville people here. See, this church is church for the area. It's south, it's Tocqueville, it's large, it's east, multi, St. Pius. Oh, this is the people who come here. But Beyonce. Beyonce doesn't know. Come, Beyonce. Let's go to the stage. Wow. Can we go? Beyonce. You could sing? You can't sing? How so? I want you to sing. You can't sing? Not even Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Beyonce to the stage. Wow. Now, Beyonce, I want to interview you. Is that okay? Do you know you're pretty? You know you're pretty. Do you know what it does for a man? Really? Joey, you're sleeping. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. Is it working? Okay. What does your prettiness or your beauty do to a man? Is that your friend? What's your name?
Kellyanne.
Aaliyah. Yeah. Kellyanne. Kellyanne. Ashikashi. She said, I should call you. Come. Come. Come, girl.
What?
What? Yeah, look. She has some fancy short dress. What? Well, Kellyanne? Come by she. Come by she. Okay. Wow. All right. You got my friend?
No.
You lied. I don't believe it. How old are you?
14 years old.
You are 14 and you are 15. You got my friend?
No.
No. Why?
I'm a father, why ain't getting on?
Your father?
Yeah.
He's a good father. What about your mother? She alright with you getting boyfriend? She
no.
Too? Okay. Do you want a boyfriend? Why not? He'll give you money.
My father's give me money.
Your father is give you money. Boyfriend could give you enough money.
My father's give me money.
Especially when you give him. Do you know when a man looks at your legs, he wants to call you? Do you know that? It's a giraffe. Do you know that?
No.
You don't know? That's why you should cover your legs and cover everything. Because a man can look at your toes and say, Beyonce, did you know that? You know that? Well, you look like you know enough things, Beyonce. You know things. So when you dress up or you're going out, who do you dress up for?
Myself.
You dress up for yourself. Well, we don't think you dress up for yourself. We think that you want us a look. Especially when this place is open like that. So what? Nice shoulder. Smooth skin. Smooth skin. A baby skin. So when they see you in town, they call you babes, babes. Babes. And then you don't understand why they say. Look at your baby skin. That is why. Kellyanne.
Yes.
This is very nice. It looks like a woman who can fight with you. The vex. Is that how they do it? This is a war type of mood, you know. Yeah. It's nice. Some men like that. Well, what I'm trying to say is that you don't even know what you are carrying in your body. So you walk on the road, you don't know that somebody is looking at you and they like you. Just by looking at you. That's why I'm glad I is not a girl. Because I don't carry them things. And so when the person approaches you, you think they just like you. They like you? They're looking for something. You are big enough to know what I'm talking about. Kellyanne?
Yeah, I know.
You know, right? What you know? Tell me. What you know?
A lot of things.
What? Hey! Okay, I've finished preaching. Now it's your turn to preach. Come and preach. Put your hands together for the two girls. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. May you go back to your seat. Clap for them. Stand to your feet. Let me close here. Stand to your feet. So many things to say. Amen. Oh, clap. Are you clapping? Wow. You catch breeze just now. Don't worry. Breeze coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our prophet, the one who actually led us into this wonderful church and this wonderful denomination. We can never forget Dagiwad Mills, the presiding bishop, the one who, even as a little boy in school, obeyed, took the call of God seriously over his life. And after 3 decades and more, we, from this part of the world, are found here as a fruit of his work and of his ministry. I pray that we will forever be grateful and that we will continue and also be examples like he is an example to us in everything where ministry is concerned. I give you praise. I give you glory in Jesus' name. You are here this morning, this afternoon. You are not saved. You want to give your heart to Jesus. I want to pray for you quickly before we take our seat. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, every eye closed, every head bowed, you want to lift up your right hand. You want to just say, Bishop, I want to be saved. God bless you. Bishop, I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. On a day like this, what is more honorable than to give Jesus the best place in your life? That is your heart. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Your right hand up high so I can see. I'll pray with you. Just your right hand. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ladies. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to pray for you. Just take a walk. Come to the front. Come, Kellyanne, come. Put your hands together for them. Oh, clap for them. Sing it. Sing the song.
Whosoever believes will not perish.
Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. So many young people. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
For God.
Shake my hand. God bless you.
The world.
Daddy gave. God bless you. God bless you, sir.
His only son.
Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you.
Believes will not bear.
Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. Clap for them. God bless you. So many young people. God for them. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Jesus loved the world.
That he gave his only son.
Whosoever believes. This is why the devil doesn't like our church. because of the type of people he brings, God brings around. Amen. What's your name, son?
Terence.
Terence, how old are you?
14.
14. G came to the church at the age of 14. So you should see G in this guy here. What's your name?
Javel.
Javel, how old are you?
11.
Wow. And your name is Tyrese, and you are how old? You are 12. And you are Jermaine. How old?
12.
You see how God works? Prince, how old were you when you came to the church? 13 years. He's a big man there. He's the president's grandchild. Grandson. He came to the church at the age of 13. So you are a little late. Daddy has come at the right time. He's not late, but you are late. How old are you?
20.
You're 20. You're late, but it's better late than never, isn't it? How old are you?
13.
You see, so you were just like that man. When he came, his head was very big. As he has grown, you can't even see his head. His head looks so nice. When he was little, oh boy. Hi. We like colored people like you also in the church. There's a guy in his church. Oh, it's Espanol?
Yes.
Yeah, or si?
Si.
Si Espanol. Venezuela? Caracas?
No. Puertotas.
Puertotas. Oh, si, senor. Hey, where are my Spanish people? Jojo. Como estás? Wow, wonderful. What's your name?
Daniel,
how old are you?
13.
Folks, what do you think? What's happening here? Apart from a few big, matured people, these are just young people. How old are you?
18.
Hey, you're sure? You look like 13, girlfriend. Okay. How old are you?
12 years old.
15. You're sure? Show me your ID card. Of course, the popular Kelly. Wow. Put your hands together for them one more time. Lorenzo, your classmates, huh? Wow. This is one of the best decisions you can ever make. Now, we're going to pray a simple prayer. Your life is going to change after that. Watch how mommy is going to be on your case not to come to church. What's your name again?
Sarah.
You look like a Sarah in the Bible. Yeah. Your face look Bible face. Yeah, Sarah. Close your eyes with me, church. Let's help them as they pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray this prayer after me, okay? Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I declare I'm born again. My name is in the book of life. And I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.